Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela, Chapter 7, Text 5, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We don't have the verse written up, huh? No, so I'll just chant it. Panchatatta ek bashtu nahi kichu bhed, rasa ashadite tabu bibidha bibhed. Translation, spiritually there is no differences between these five tattvas. This is referring to the pancha tattva. We hope you know what is being spoken about. Amen. And this is, Srila Prabhupada said, Chaitanya Charitamrita is the PhD study of spiritual life. So, anyway, it's discussed in the next verse. Spiritually, there are no differences between these five tattvas, for on the transcendental platform, everything is absolute. Yet there are also varieties in the spiritual world, and in order to taste these spiritual varieties, one should distinguish between them. Purport, in his Anubhasha commentary, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes the Panchatatta as follows. The supreme energetic, the personality of Godhead, manifesting in five kinds of pastimes, appears as the Panchatatta. Actually, there is no difference between them because they are situated on the absolute platform, but they manifest different spiritual varieties as a challenge to impersonalists to taste different kinds of spiritual humors, rasas. In the Vedas, it is said, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. The energy, the varieties of energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are differently known. From this statement of the Vedas, one can understand that there are eternal varieties of humors or tastes in the spiritual world. Sri Gauranga, Sri Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadha, and Sri Vas are all on the same platform, but in spiritually distinguishing between them, one should understand that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the form of a devotee. Nityananda Prabhu appears in the form of a devotee's spiritual master. Advaita Prabhu is the form of a bhakta, devotee, incarnation. Gadadha Prabhu is the energy of a bhakta. And Srivas is a pure devotee. Thus there are spiritual distinctions between them. The bhakta rupa, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the bhakta swarupa, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and the bhakta avatar, Sri Advaita Prabhu, are described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, His immediate manifestation, and His plenary expansion, and they all belong to the Vishnu category. Although the spiritual and marginal energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, they are predominated subjects, whereas Lord Vishnu is the predominator. Doing well if you can translate this. As such, although they are on the same platform, they have appeared differently in order to facilitate tasting of transcendental mellows. Actually, however, there is no possibility of one being different from the other, for the worshipper and the worshippable cannot be separated at any stage. On the absolute platform, one cannot be understood without the other. Panchatatta ekbashtu nahi kichu bhed, rasa ashadite tabu bibidha bibhed. Spiritually, there are no differences between these five tattvas, for on the transcendental platform, everything is absolute. Yet there are also varieties in the spiritual world, and in order to taste these spiritual varieties, one should distinguish between them. This chapter 7 of Adi Leela of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita was the first section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that Srila Prabhupada translated in a formal manner. Prior to that, he had summarized the contents of several of the chapters of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in prose form in his book, The Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Later, devotees asked him to present the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in the same manner that he had presented Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam with each verse with commentary, with translation and commentary. So the first, before he did anything else, he translated this chapter. It would seem the natural thing to do to start with Adi Leela, the first section of the epic Chaitanya Charitamrita, with chapter 1, but Srila Prabhupada started with this chapter 7 and he published it as a separate booklet with the title that he gave to this chapter, which is derived from the title which is given in the Gaudiya Math edition of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Panchatatta Nirupan, something like this is the title in Bengali. So he gave the title Lord Chaitanya in Five Features. That was published as a book. And that was Srila Prabhupada, he wanted that that book be distributed to all the prominent Mayavadis in India. Because this, Srila Prabhupada chose to translate this chapter because it deals with the main subject of this. Well, the title of the chapter is about the Panchatattva, but then there is describing philosophically what are the Panchatattva. Which is, but much of the content of the chapter describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu meeting with the Mayavadis of Varanasi. And defeating them. So it's quite complex philosophy. I mean, even to understand what Srila Prabhupada has written here, actually it's mostly a translation from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's writing. Is not for beginners. One has to study this maybe a few times. When one has read Srila Prabhupada's books a few times, then you could maybe understand what's being expressed here. Yes, Srila Prabhupada was very concerned with combating the Mayavadis. He gave his own pranam mantra, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarne, saving the Western world from impersonalism and voidism. And he started off in the Western world. His mission became established there, and he brought that back to India also. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's described in this chapter, he met the Mayavadis of Varanasi, and they criticized him. That Murka Sanyasiha, he's a fool. This is a foolish sannyasi. Now he jane nija dharma. He doesn't know what he's supposed to do. He doesn't know what his dharma as a sannyasi is. And he, if I find the verse, I could. He just goes around with these, dancing with these bhavuks. He just wanders around the streets dancing and singing with sentimentalists. So it was supposed that sannyasi should be very grave, which is also true. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not appreciate how, the Mayavadis could not appreciate how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi was singing and dancing with sentimentalists. The Mayavadis, they criticize devotees as being just sentimentalists. And the Mayavadis presume themselves to be very solidly fixed in tattva jnana, philosophical knowledge. So from this verse which we just read today, panchatatta eka bastu nahi ki chubhed rasa asadite tabu bibhida bibhed, we can understand that devotees are sentimentalists. We don't deny that. But not just sentimentalists. Also, devotees are tattva jnanis. Here is tattva jnana, philosophical knowledge. Knowledge of the pancha tattva. Of course, the word sentimentalist, I don't know how it comes in French, but in English, it, as in the word that Prakash Ananda Saraswati used to describe Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bhavuk, it comes off as, it implies someone who is overly sentimental, in French also. Same connotation, yeah. So overly sentimental, unable to think clearly or deeply, ruled by his emotions, can't be a very reliable person, probably very easily swayed because of his emotions. He's not able to do anything and take up any serious work, can't be entrusted to do anything responsible, and on and on and on. There are so many connotations that go with the word sentimentalist. But devotees are sentiment. We can accept that we are sentimentalists in as much as we do not deny sentiment. Whereas the Mayavadis, their whole business is to deny sentiment and to deny sentience. Probably the two words have got the same root. Have any Latin scholars here? Sentience and sentiment, probably from the same Latin root, yeah, but it's Italians and Romans are different. The Romans of the Latin speaking time. Anyway, he says, we'll accept as an authority. This study of language can be very interesting, actually. Similarly, in Sanskrit, we have, or Bengali, bhava has many meanings. One common meaning is feeling or emotion. And bhavuk means one who is emotional. So, devotees do not deny it. Rather, we understand from this verse that the supreme ultimate reality, which the Mayavadis insist is one, it's also accepted just here, Panchatattva Ekvastu, is one entity, but the sentiment is so powerful, is so desirable, that one entity becomes as if divided for the sake of tasting sentiments. Or the word rasa is given here. Or, which is not very translatable, but it's intimately related with sentiment. Rasa and bhava are intimately related. So devotees, we are sentimental, yes, we are sentiments in which, in as much as we proclaim the ascendancy or the highest status we give to sentiment, even over tattva jnana. Not that tattva jnana is unimportant. It's absolutely so important that this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was compiling, and he wrote that he's so sick and he could die at any time, he doesn't know if he'll finish it. But even though he wasn't sure whether he could finish, but before describing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he spent several chapters establishing the philosophical principles of who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. What are the purposes of his coming to this world? Who is Nityananda Prabhu? Who is Advaita Gadadha? So, for this reason, Chaitanya Charitamrita is generally considered the most important. This is one of the reasons why, one of the main reasons why it's considered one of the most the most important biography of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because it gives Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the beginning here, establishes who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And throughout the text, we also find there are many philosophical sections. These philosophical sections were the sections that Srila Prabhupada chose to present in prose form in teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So this Chaitanya Charitamrita is canonical for the Gauriya Vaishnavas. What is stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that is accepted as the bona fide understanding of Krishna consciousness for the Gauriya Vaishnavas. Because there may have been so many other ideas floating around. Just like we see that within ISKCON today, there are many different ideas on many different topics. So no doubt after the departure of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, shortly after his departure, there were many different theories. Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? As we find from Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the next chapter, it's described that some people who considered themselves followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they accepted him as Bhagawan, but they did not accept Nityananda Prabhu. Which, from the descriptions of Nityananda Prabhu's behavior, we might understand why, because he is very unusual behavior in many ways. Anyway, I won't talk about that now. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, in this Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gave the summary of all the truths presented in the voluminous writings of the six Goswamis. The Shandarbha of Jiva Goswami, that defines all the philosophical understanding of the Gauriyas. But that was summarized, everything is here, along with the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the understanding of all the tattvas. All the tattvas means that here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Goswami will say this, Leela Tattva, Rasa Tattva, all these different categories they are understood. Tattva in this context we can understand to mean. It's difficult to translate also. Tattva literally means that-ness. Tat means that. Tat, put an H after the first T and you have that. So tat means that, and tva means ness. So that-ness, or what is the, what is it that makes tat that? What is it that makes anything what it is? What is its dharma? So who are the pancha tattva is described. The next verse is Sanskrit, but most of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is composed in Bengali. There are many Sanskrit verses also from many different sources, primarily Srimad Bhagavatam, and many verses which were composed originally by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also, who's the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the next verse is a verse which, it follows on from this verse. So that's the well-known verse, Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavatarang Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam, which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentary on the verse that we're reading today, has explained in Bengali, and Srila Prabhupada has translated that into English. And it's a big topic, very big topic. It's just summarized here that Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam. What is the subject here? Krishna. In this verse, the subject is Krishna. So Krishna is panchatattvatmakam. He is, we can't really say composed of. It's difficult to use. What language? It's not that composed, not that someone put some things together and made Krishna. But his being is panchatattva-ish, or composed of, I don't know how to say it. His being is panchatattva, manifest as panchatattva. Five truths or five categories manifest as bhakta-rupa, the Supreme Krishna Chaitanya, who is Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna directly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fountainhead of all forms, all the Vishnu forms. Then Bhakta Swarupa, Nityananda, the expansion of Krishna. Yeah, so Bhakta Rupa means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the fountainhead of all Vishnu forms, and actually of all Jiva forms, and of all, of everything. Here in the purport, he said he's the source of all. No, I don't see it now. The varieties of energy. Anyway, it means he's Sarva Shaktiman. He is the possessor of all energies. So the energetic is the possessor of all energies. So that means Vishnu, the personality of Godhead, and his energies. Parasya, this is quoted here. Parasya Shakti Vividhaiva Shruyate. He has many different energies. So he is the original fountainhead, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Absolute Truth, who the Mayavadis don't understand. They think him to be impersonal. But he has manifested as a bhakta, as a devotee. Why is that? The Mayavadis, they think that everything is all one, without any distinction. And in this is stated here also, it's a paradoxical statement, apparently contradictory. Panchatattva ekbastu. And that immediately is a contradiction. You have five things which are one thing. How is that possible? Yeah, it has to be. Achintya bheda. But here it said, nahi kichu bhed. There is no bhed. There is no distinction at all. Nothing. One. Even though it's five, it's one. Makes sense, right? It's very logical. You can understand. Five equals one. Who studied at school? Five equals one. Spiritual mathematics. Thank you. If you can teach your children, they can go to school and tell the teacher that five equals one and say, no, you got it wrong. And the child will say, no, you got it wrong. Because you think there's only one. Then the next line, Rasha Shede Tabu Bibidha Bibid. But even though there's Nahi Kichu Bid, it's like an absolute categorical statement. But then, for the sake of rasa, for tasting rasa, nevertheless, tabu, what's tabu translated as? Yet. Bibida means many, bibed, many divisions, and vibed, that means not just a division, but categorical division, quite different. They're quite different also. Oh! Breaking Prabhupada's heart, slamming the door. So, What does this mean? The supreme absolute truth is one, that's accepted, the Mayavadis will accept. There's nothing beyond that, nothing above that, nothing conceivable apart from it. But for the sake of rasa, becomes divided into many. That's there in the Upanishads also. Eko bahu syam. One became many. So why is that? Because of the taste, because of the sentiment, because of the rasa. Many years ago, I first read Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion. And as we used to say in those days, hippie slang, I came across a section very early, right in the first chapter, which blew my mind. That Srila Prabhupada stated that bhakti is greater than Krishna. Bhakti is greater than God. Wait a minute. What's more than God? But then how can God be God if there's something more than God? Devotion is more than God because he becomes subservient to it. Of course, it's devotion to him. But how much he is subservient to it, how much that devotion to Krishna is attractive to he who is all attractive. That's another point. Why is God is not just God because he will smash them, throw everyone into hell forever. That's not the godliness of the God that Srila Prabhupada introduced us to. His attractiveness, he's all attractive. But his attractiveness means that there are others who are attracted to him. And he also becomes attracted to them. It's not a one-way street. Not that he's a wax model in Madame Tussauds, just being attractive. But not only is his form very beautiful to see, but his personality is very beautiful. Everything about Krishna is very sweet. What is that? Madhura Adipate. What is that? How does that line go? Madhuradipate rakilam madhuram. Everything about the Lord of sweetness is very, very sweet. Even his punishing others, damanam madhuram, that's also very sweet. Everything about him is very sweet. So that sweetness is so attractive to him that he also desires to taste it. It's because he can't taste it while you can't be both the, in the technical language, both the vishai and the ashray of prema. Krishna is the subject of prema, and the devotees, especially Hare Krishna, it's the wind. Yeah. So the love of that love, which is intricately connected with the rasa, that is in others. Krishna also has love for others, but he is the subject of love around which everything and everyone centers. So to taste that rasa, he takes various forms. Eko bahu syam. So devotees are sentimentalists. We say that above the philosophical understanding is the tasting. And that makes sense also, because that example is there of tasting the honey in the bottle. You can write a PhD thesis on honey and varieties of honey and the different tastes it has. You can write about it, but that you can write it, you can read the PhD thesis, but you still don't know what honey tastes like, and you won't enjoy the taste unless you actually taste it. It's a it's experience. That's a problem with all these hard-headed atheists of the modern world also, in which France has many of them. That they just think that it's all just work it out with your brain power, understand with logic. We don't believe something unless we can prove it scientifically, totally ignoring or oblivious to the fact, due to the illusion of Maya, that much of what we know and experience is not by any particular logical process, but by experience. Tasting honey. You can make a description of what honey tastes like, but you can't taste it unless you taste it. Unless you interact with it. It's not experiencing the taste of honey is not something that can, it's not reducible to a simply to a description. It has to be experienced. So in the same, the atheists and the Mayavadis, they can't understand all this because they put so much stress on their own intellect and their ability to understand everything. Just missing the point that you can't understand everything simply by intellect. So devotees, they are sentimentalists because they exalt sentiment over everything else, including over God Himself. That's a dangerous statement, isn't it? Dangerous statement. But ultimately, prema is ultimate. But then prema is only for Krishna. But that's described here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That prema makes even Krishna Himself dance. The famous saying of the, Nietzsche, I could believe in a God if He danced. He didn't know that. All he knew about God is that He's sitting on a cloud in the Sistine Chapel throwing people into hell with an angry look on His face. That's all he knew about God. So he quite intelligently rejected that notion of God. But actually God does that. That's mostly what He does. That's poor old Nietzsche, he came a little early. She should have waited a little longer for Prabhupada to come. So, devotees are sentimental, but not just sentimentalists. As we'll find from this chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke with the Mayavadis and demonstrated to them via the Vedanta philosophy that the ultimate truth is a little boy with a flute. Or at least he established that the supremacy of Narayana. Then from there you have to go. There's more distance to go. You can stop there also with appreciation of Narayana. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially came to teach that love of God, even beyond that, beyond which there is no further to go. When one has gone through all many different stages, bahunam janmanamante gyanavam mam prapadyate, one surrenders to Narayana after many births. So that is the highest understanding of Narayana. But there's somewhat further to go also. If you don't go further, that's also perfect. But if you, someone who dares to ask, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't only dare to ask, he goes and tells everyone, What is Narayana doing when he's not sitting on a throne? When he's in his private apartments, that's private, no news comes out of there. Anyone who serves in the private apartments, they have to know the secrecy. There's that word in French, concierge. Yeah, they're intimate personal servant. Lips are shut. That means that the king or the rich man, or he can, in front of this servant, he can argue with his wife and play with his wife and joke with his wife. The concierge sees everything and no news goes outside. It's inside. That's all. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and said, "Hey, look, I'm Krishna. I want to tell you all about what I'm doing in my private life." It's quite remarkable. How is that? Because actually it's meant for everyone. It's meant for anyone who will take it. Who will take it? No one wants to take it. So he goes, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes and gives it to them. Even they're not very willing, not very qualified, not at all qualified. So these are, anyway, little, some of the secrets of the Pancha Tattva. Yeah, I got Bhakta Rupa, Swarupakam, Bhakta Avatara. The Advaita Acharya appears as the Avatara, as a Bhakta. Bhakta Avataram, Bhakta Kyam, one who's known as a devotee. That's Srivas, who represents all the Jivas. And Bhakta Shakti, there are many Shaktis. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Krishna's internal servants. So Gadadha is Radharani, then Jagadananda Pandit is Satyabhama, Ramananda Rai is Lalita. So these are all Bhakta Shaktis. They are Shaktis, or the inner potency of the Supreme Lord, who appear as devotees. So they're all devotees. They're all one. How are they all one? They're all devotees. They're all devotees. Bhakta Rupa, Bhakta Swarupa, Bhakta Avatara, Bhaktakya, Bhakta Shakti. They're all devotees. They're all one in their devotion to Krishna. Still they're different. So it is... philosophy is there. It's not that there's not philosophy. Understanding is there. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he discussed with the Mayavadis of Varanasi, who were very proud of their knowledge and Vedanta. He spoke Vedanta with them. He wasn't, otherwise he was singing in the streets. You don't like singing in the streets, you like to speak Vedanta? Okay, we'll speak Vedanta. And then after he spoke Vedanta with the Mayavadis of Varanasi, then they also sang on the streets with him. They also became sentimentalists. So I wanted to read one, as the subject is Panchatattva. I wanted to read out one song of the many, many songs written by Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur. His own aspiration to have darshan of the Panchatattva. He sings Gurudev. It's a song addressed to his guru. Kobe Toba Koruna Prakashe. When by the manifestation of your mercy. He has several songs in which he praise for the mercy of his guru. So in this song he's singing, when by the manifestation of your mercy, it's actually, most of the song is one long sentence. Sri Gauranga Lila Hoi Nitta Tattva Ejira Bishase. With this great conviction that Gauranga Lila is Nitya Tattva. It's not that Vishvamba Mishra was born in Navadvip and someone called him God, and then he died. But Gauranga Leela is eternal. That Jagadananda Pandit wrote, that, what is that? Gaura Nritta Nitta. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing is eternal. So, Hari Hari Boli, Godruma Kanane, Brahmebo Darshana Ashe. So he's praying by the mercy of the Guru, by the manifestation of the mercy of the Guru, with great conviction that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela is an eternal principle. He will wander in the groves in the forest of Godruma, the area of Navadvip Dham in which he had made his house. He will wander calling out the name Hari Hari with the desire to see, to have darshan of who? Nitai Gauranga Adaita Srivash Gadadhara Panchajan. So these five people. Krishna Nama Rashe Bhashabhae Jagat Kari Mahashankirtan. So what Panchatattva are doing? Actually, Panchatattva, we usually say Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas. But that's not exactly correct. What's correct? Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So Srivas and all the devotees are the... So these five people flooding the world with Krishna Nama Rasa. This sentiment or the experience or the taste that one has upon experiencing Krishna Nama. So for the purpose of flooding the world with Krishna Nama Rasa, they perform Maha Sankirtan. Great chanting of the holy names, congregational chanting. Nartana Bilash, Mridanga Badan, Shunibo Apana Kani. He's desiring that I will hear with my own ears. He will see with his own eyes their pastimes of dancing. And will hear, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is desiring, I will hear with my own ears the sound of the mridanga in their kirtan. Dekhiya dekhiya shailila madhuri bhashibo premera bane. And going on seeing this, the sweetness of this pastime, I will float in the flood of Krishna prema. Na dekhiyaba, then the vision is gone. Shailila ratan, that jewel of Krishna's, of Gauranga's pastimes. Kandi, then calling out, crying, Ha Gauranga Bali. I got it, I lost it. And he's calling out, Ha Gauranga. Amare Bishoi Pagala Balaya Ongate Dibeka Dhuli. So the materialistic people seeing him, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying for this, will say, he's a madman, and they will throw dust on him, throw dirt on him. So that's his desire. By the mercy of my guru, I will be rejected as a madman, and people will throw dirt on me. So that is the aspiration of Bhaktivinoda Thakur for seeing the Sri Panchatattva. Joining in the, they're seeing the Sankirtan. From which we can understand that he was seeing. What is that? Jailila Kare Gaurarai. Adapi ho Jailila Kare Gaurarai. Kono kono Bhagavane Deki Bare Pai. Even now, some fortunate people can see all the pastimes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, he would regularly at night, unseen to almost all the devotees, he would go out from when he was living at Mayapur, he would go out and meet the residents of the higher planets, and they would listen to him about the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can understand that Srila Prabhupada also, he's not any less than Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So what he saw at Mayapur, we saw fields, rickshaws, Ganga. Srila Prabhupada saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So, Hare Krishna. Any question about this? Two questions. Two comments, okay. Well, in the corner of my eye, Apanga Vikshan, there's a nyai called Apanga Vikshan Nyai. So,
the word that Pustalai seems to me so powerful that the term sits for the vocabulary in sense of quintessence.
Ah.
Even in English, you find the term quintessence.
Quintessence.
It comes from that principle.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it? Do you know the, I mean, I never thought of that, the etymological derivation, but how does that, five, but then, but how does that, how is that explained? How?
Well, I'm not an etymologist, but obviously.
Interesting, huh? Yeah. Quintessence means.
Quintessence.
Interesting. I have to go and look up the etymology. Five. The term essence in itself is complete. But then quintessence, it emphasizes more, doesn't it? There's actually no need, if you have the word essence, then you don't need the term quintessence. Yeah, yeah, so that's, yeah, it's going more even. What is that?
Substance and essence are two words, synonyms.
Synonyms, yes. Substance and essence, yeah, yeah.
And in many places, tattva is translated as substance.
Tattva can be translated as substance. Of course, different words in Sanskrit, they're differently understood by in different schools of philosophy, by different philosophers. They define it differently also. Just like the word bhava, it has a different usage in Gaudiya Vaishnav. What shall we say? Exposition than in anywhere else, as far as I know. It may be in dramaturgy, may be used, but not in exactly the same sense that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas use it.
Should we try to understand this most paradox that there is one and many?
Should we try to understand the paradox that there is one and many? Yeah, yeah, you can easily understand it. When you understand that it's not understandable, then you can understand it. That's what's called achintya. It's actually not difficult to understand. If we understand that it's not understandable, then you understand it. But if you try to explain it, then you can't understand it.
And the question was, through the first incantation mantra of Shisho Upanishad,
so should we understand it through the invocation of Sri Upanishad? Om Purnama Daha Purnama Nam Purnat Purnam Udachate Purnasya. What is it? Purnasya Purnama Adaya Purnam Eva Vishishya. Yes, yes, we can through that.
Logic,
yeah, but it goes beyond ordinary logic. There are many in Gita also. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyokta murtina madstani sarvabhutani nachahang teshvavastita. Krishna says, this whole universe is in me and I am in it, but still, I'm not in it.
difference between Krishna and his name? It makes many. I mean, Krishna, his name.
Yeah, there's a Chinta Bheda Bheda that applies in many circumstances. How the jivas are non-different from Krishna and different. How the Narayan forms are non-different from Krishna, but different. How the Shaktis, how Radharani is non-different from Krishna, but different.
So it's the same logic and analogy here? I mean, when you say that...
Yeah, it's applicable throughout. When we say that Gaurya Vaishnava teachings are Achinta Bheda Bheda, that means it applies to every facet, everything. And Ramanuja's Vishishtadvaita, that explanation is applicable to every aspect of his teachings. And similarly with Kevaladvaita Vad, of whichever version you want to take of Shankara's, that in one sense you can say that everything that's explained leads up to that philosophy, but more it's that this perspective explains everything. Yeah, what did you want to say?
It's about, recently I was in Dubai, I think it's a place you are quite familiar with also.
Yeah.
It was on the occasion of Ratha Yatra.
Oh yeah, I was just there. I was there just after that.
Yeah, and it was held in the gymnasium of a school, because it's Muslim country.
Yeah, Regent School.
And because I was in Orange, I was put with, important devotees of the Prasadam. And the prasadam was so good, and so much variety that I was added feeling or the realized feeling, let's say, that we are eating more than Lord Jagannath. It's in relation to what you say that the bhakti is bigger than God. And we see also in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, we say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed Krishna consciousness within the boundaries of India, but Prabhupada went all over the world. And another thing also I have to say about what you said about experiencing something or talking about it with speculation. Speculating about something. It's in a book which has been written by Satyarupa Das Goswami, called Drops of Nectar. People were speculating about the taste of papaya, pepe. And they concluded with their speculation that the taste of the papaya is what you get when you put some honey to the beard of the Muslim.
No, that was jackfruit, putting sugarcane juice through the beard of a Muslim. What on earth would sugarcane juice strained through the Muslim's beard taste like? Anyway, it doesn't help you much to say that, does it? I mean, even if you try to understand what the taste of sugarcane juice strained through a Muslim's beard would taste like, it wouldn't really help you much. It wouldn't help you much to understand. Yeah, can you explain what... You've tasted jackfruit, presumably, after all those many times you visited Bangladesh. Can you explain what it tastes like? Can you explain? Yeah. No, but can you explain the taste so everyone can understand what it tastes? Who here has eaten jackfruit? Okay, who hasn't eaten jackfruit? So, can some... You've never eaten jackfruit? Yeah, who have not eaten. So how would you explain to someone what it tastes like? Kacha and paka are very different. Yeah, that's true. Actually, the kacha one, when it's cooked, Vyasaki Prabhu used to say that there's cook it one way and it looks and tastes like chicken, and cook it another way and tastes like red meat. But the fruit is, how can you explain what it tastes like? It's not always sweet, and it's not pure sweetness. Somewhat sweet. Somewhat like, in Bengal especially, it's like often like chewing gum. You have to spit it out at the end. In Tamil Nadu, it's not like that. There's different varieties in Bengal. So there's a, how will you explain what it tastes like? It's like, so that was an attempt. The taste of sugarcane juice strained through a Muslim's beard. Doesn't help you at all, does it, to understand what it tastes like? Well, some things you could, just like the jackfruit vegetable when it's cooked, you could compare it to something. What about durian? Who's eaten durian? Have you eaten durian? You have to go to Malaysia or Thailand or, to eat that. You can say it's like eating rotten eggs or something like that. Like eating rotten eggs with, because you have to know what rotten eggs taste like. Rotten eggs with chilies. You could explain it somewhat. No, no, durian and jackfruit are quite different. They look somewhat the same. Hmm? Durian, yeah. Yeah. I don't know, I didn't go to China, but I went to Thailand, Malaysia and Singapore. Kalanimok, yeah, that's also like eggs. Salty, rotten eggs. Okay, let's get away from culinary oddities.
Akshan Prabhu asks a question. He says that in Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains the position of the gopis, and he says that the gopis are the Vishnu tattvas. So should we consider...
Vishnu tattva? Gopis? No, 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 they're shaktis.
In his purpose, Srila Prabhupada says that we may consider gopis as Vishnu tattva. It's in the very beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Well, I don't remember saying that.
So the question is...
No, no, I think you got a wrong translation there. It's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita that just as the Vishnu forms expand from Krishna, so all the Shakti forms, like the queens of Dwarka and the Lakshmis, they expand from Radha. That's what's explained. It's not said that they're Vishnu tattva. They're Shakti tattva. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's something wrong there. Hare Krishna! Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Hare Krishna!